Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ragnar Jonasson. That's who we spoke to recently.
He's yesterday.
Recently, in the last couple of weeks.
Yes. He's writing with the former prime minister now.
Yes.
Katrin Jakobsdóttir.
And maybe she would not be in her position if 50 years ago, October 24th, all the women of Iceland didn't take a day off or go on strike.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the topic of your documentary.
Absolutely.
Hrupa. Gunnar's daughter.
Yeah, Gunnar's daughter. Yeah.
Yes.
And we don't usually go by our last names, but...
But you are the daughter of
Gunnar. I'm the daughter of Gunnar, yeah. But my brother is the son of Gunnar, and my mother has a different last name. There is no family name.
Aha. So your brother is Gunnarsson.
Gunnarsson, yeah. And my father is Gunnar Einarsson. He's the son of his father.
Yes.
We don't want to know who is related to you, you know. It's so insane.
Because it's a small country, small population. What's the population?
Yeah, 370,000. Yeah. 377, yeah.
You punch above your weight. You've been in Dublin before.
Once before, yeah. I was here when we were doing a documentary about the Icelandic national team when they made it into the European finals.
Yes. And they beat England famously.
Yes, they did beat. Well, this was the women's team.
Oh, it's the women's team,
and
right.
And we did beat the Irish when we came.
Yes, yeah. And there was that thing, the Viking clap. People remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit later.
It was later on, so yeah. we won't play it.
No.
The day Iceland stood still.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in Dublin for a showing of that. And remembers the day 50 years ago, October 24th, when everything changed for women in Iceland.
Yeah, well, it was... Yeah, we could mark that as the...
Yes.
Yeah. Time, yeah.
Now, first of all, introduce us to the Red Stocking Group.
Should I introduce you to that?
Yes.
Okay. Are we on the air yet?
We are.
Oh.
We've been on the air for the last 3 minutes.
You forgot to tell me, but anyhow. I did see the red
light. That keeps you relaxed.
Well, I'm actually quite relaxed on the radio. But
good.
Red Stockings, they actually started working in 1968, 1970. It was a group that were, I think in England they call it the Blue Stockings. Well, and a women's rights group. They wanted to change things for women in Iceland.
Uh-huh.
And they were quite well organized, although they were, you know, it was not a very populous, it was not very many in the organization.
And they were responsible for a number of stunts.
Yes, they had great acts. They did, one Christmas they decided to crucify the housewife. So they brought out a Christmas tree and a doll that looked like a very, very tired housewife. And crucified on the Christmas tree because they were tired of, you know, women having to be cleaning up and baking and sewing clothes, you know. And so they were saying, okay, you know, it's enough.
Yeah.
And then they also destroyed, that was a beauty contest.
Yeah.
They decided to bring a cow to the beauty contest. And that effectively killed off the interest in beauty contests for about 10 years. Until about...
And 90, the police were going to arrest them for cruelty to animals.
Yes. Not cruelty to humans, to put them on the same stage, but to the cows.
Yeah, cruelty.
Absolutely,
to,
yeah.
So the UN declared 1975 International Women's Year.
Yes.
So there was a sort of a platform.
It was a platform. And the Icelandic women that were involved in pushing for women's rights at that time, they felt they had fallen a bit behind. And so they started organizing in the summertime. We are very famously, you know, we do things out of the drop of a hat. But they actually started sort of thinking about it during the summertime. And then they decided they were going to have a women's strike in October. And so they did something very smart. They went across political lines. They went to all the small groups, even just the knitting clubs, you know, of Reykjavik and the church ladies. So everybody was kind of come to the table, let's organize this. And then, you know, the women from the right wing, they said, well, we can't go on a strike because, you know, we just don't do that. And so there had to be a compromise. And I think people.
Now, hold on, because I have a clip from your documentary.
Okay, you do.
That describes what happened there.
Yes.
So the women on the left were pushing for a strike. Yes. The women on the right were going, no, 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 we can't have a strike. So the compromise, yes.
Yes.
The problem was with women on the right. They said, we can never, never go on strike. That is against our, you know, beliefs. Communists do that. Yeah. Something like that. It was a terrible word. To go on strike, it was something they could not and would never accept.
And then this older, nice, little, curly-haired woman came up and said, oh, is it strike that you don't like? We could call it a day off.
And women on the right said, yes, why not? That's fine. Okay, a day off.
A day off for all the women in Iceland.
Yes.
And one of those women is on the line now from Portugal, Maria Sigurdsdóttir. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, we have Hrappa here as well, who produced the documentary. Thanks for taking our call today. Maria, you were there.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, you were there in 1975 and you didn't like the lady's suggestion that instead of a strike, you call it a day off.
Yeah, I would have liked to call it a strike.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the time, I was working in for a very conservative, but the biggest newspaper in Iceland. And we were like five women there in the printing area of the newspaper.
Mm.
So me and a girlfriend of mine that worked there, we were just the two of us that were really into women's rights and things, you know.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, we will go on a strike and the biggest newspaper cannot be out.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, that's a big thing. You
big
know?
Statement, yeah. Yeah, but, big statement.
Yeah. So, but we couldn't get all the women with us. They were like the other ones, call it a day off, you know. And so we got we said we will not be there, and that's enough. It will not be a paper, you know, if we are not there, just the two of us. But then the editors came to us and sat us down and talked very, very slowly and calming to us about, well, we would like to ask you to do a big favor, as a big favor. If you get the commission, you know, you will go there and you will be in the meeting, big meeting, and then after midnight, you can come and finish the paper.
Yes.
And in return, we will have the whole front page, a big photo of the meeting. Everything about the meeting will be on the front page. And what can you say? You're 19 or 20 like we were, and we were just sitting there, oh, my God, oh, my God, no, I don't want to do this. But we kind of had to agree, you know. These were like our editors and big
but
guys.
Maria, so it turned out well in...
We didn't dare.
It turned out well in the end, Maria.
Yes, in a way, but I felt like I had betrayed.
Did you?
The day. Yes. And I had the feeling I had betrayed myself.
Right.
Because I was working so that there was a newspaper in the morning, but our goal had been not to have a newspaper out.
So yeah.
I felt I had betrayed myself a little bit, but I got over it.
Yeah. Hrappa, because the newspaper came out and it's front page, this amazing photograph of all these Icelandic women at the rally.
Yep.
That said so much.
Yeah. That said a lot, surely.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember the front page, but my family didn't buy the paper.
They did not?
No.
By way of protest?
No. Well, they bought the farmer paper. You know,
the other paper. The other paper. Maria, just your memories of the day and the protest and all the women. And a lot of the women were non-political women.
Yeah. A lot of them, yeah.
And
it was, I think it was the most memorable day in my life, you know. This was so strong. All these women gathered there, no matter where they were in politics or what their profession was or nothing, it didn't matter. We were all there together. And This is just once in a lifetime, I think.
Yes. And to look back on the 50 years since and see how it has changed Iceland, and particularly how it has changed the lives of Icelandic women.
Well, I think a lot of women that hadn't already been in the Red Sox or paying much attention to women's rights, they learned a lot that day.
Yeah.
And men that had to take their kids to work with them, oh my God, they learned a lot too.
Yeah.
But still, we haven't gone all the way. I mean, there is still too much difference in salary and things, you know.
Yeah.
We have to keep on working.
Of course, of course. But I think Iceland has achieved a lot more in gender equality than most countries. Maria, listen, thanks for taking our call today. Thank you. That's Maria Sigurd's daughter. Thank you. Who features in the documentary. And the documentary is called The Day Iceland Stood Still. There's a screening tonight. We're talking to Ruppa. It's a screening in
the
Lighthouse Cinema. You're right. Yeah. And womenforelection.ie. You can get tickets there. Womenforelection.ie. It's a beautiful documentary in that you have archival stuff. You have loads of women like Maria who were there and took part. And you have this lovely animation, which ties the whole thing together.
Yeah, we had a lack of archival footage, so we had to get creative.
Yeah.
You know.
So Marie was playing down the effect of the 1975 strike by every woman. And this is the thing that we haven't spoken about yet. It was every woman. So people, housewives, they all down tools.
Yeah, but they say about 90% of women put down their work that day. And if it was people that were working or the housewives, they all showed, and most of them showed up. And I was even there. I was 11 years old on the square, feeling like, wow, something is going to really change now. You know, I woke up the next morning, I thought, okay, now everything is fixed. Took a little longer.
Through the eyes of a child.
But, I think we have been at the top of this gender index.
For the last 14 years.
Yes. And now we have really topped ourselves because, you know, everybody in high power in Iceland is a woman. We have a female president, prime minister. The bishop is a woman. The three-party leaders representing the government. We have 7 women ministers and out of 12. So, we have achieved something.
And Maria, when she was talking to Jack on the phone earlier on from Portugal, said, oh yeah, and we better not mess it up. She didn't use the word mess.
Yeah.
She used a different word. But
that's exactly what I say.
Yeah, because there is that thing, you know, we often hear it and I'm intrigued by the prospect. Like, if women were in charge, would the great wars have happened? You know, would the current wars be happening if more women were in charge?
Well, I certainly think that the Icelandic women would not have gone to war, but who knows? You have complicated politics everywhere,
There's a man, you know, he says he's president, but he must have made the documentary a few years ago.
Yeah. He remembered it well. Yeah.
Yes, because he was a child and his dad had to do the cooking.
Yes.
And he was going to treat the kids and make hot dogs, but of course he couldn't even make hot dogs.
He boiled them too far, so they blew up.
When you were gathering up, the footage, and you're talking to these women for your documentary.
Yeah.
And I know you were 11 back in 1975, but too young to really know what was going on. Like, it seems like a different planet, doesn't it? Not a different time, but a different planet.
Absolutely. A huge change has happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's taken 50 years to be, you know, at the top of the gender index. But so much has changed.
Yeah. It's a brilliant documentary. The Day Iceland Stood Still. It happened October 24th, 50 years ago, 1975. And one of the producers has just been talking to us. Ruppa Gunnar's daughter, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck with tonight.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.